22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated, and we invite the children. who are here to be able to go back and join for the Words for Children with Georgina. And what story are you doing today? Is it the doorbell rang? For the story, the doorbell rang. Let us begin with prayer. Gracious God, you have called each of us here to gather as your community. Open our hearts and our minds that each of us may hear the word that you want to speak into our lives this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as some of you might know, my call to ministry that comes from our synod is to this building of what has been called the Metro Alliance for the Common Good, which is changing its name to the Calgary Alliance for the Common Good, just to confuse things a little bit. And this congregation is in the process of actually exploring whether it also wants to be officially a part of this alliance as well, too. So Phil and Laura asked me to preach this morning on what is this practice of community organizing and how does it connect to our gospel. And to do this, I actually want to begin by asking you a question. So what is life really about? At its very heart and core, why are we alive? The thing that I love about faith communities is that we gather to not only ask such big questions, but we also gather so that we can form and shape a community around the answers that our faith gives us to these questions. And this question of what is life really about is basically what this lawyer is asking. You see, in a context that is shaped by the Torah, by the Jewish scriptures and laws, to ask what is the greatest commandment is to ask, so what is life really about? Now, the response that Jesus gives is the response that any good Jew of the time would have given. It comes from the Shema in Deuteronomy, which normally begins, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and all your strength." But where Jesus takes this in a new direction and takes us to sort of the radical heart of the gospel is when he continues on and says, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." It is in these little words, like and as, that we actually begin to see the radicalness of Jesus' message. What does it mean that loving your neighbor is like basically the same thing as loving God? And why are we to love our neighbor not as our neighbor, but as? So as the same thing as ourself. Now to answer these questions, we actually have to go back to what Scripture tells us that we are about. Way back in Genesis, what are we made to be? We are Adam, dirt, that which is of the earth, in which God breathes God's ruach, God's spirit, God's breath into us. And we are made to be the image of God. Basically, the way in which God is reflected and revealed within the world. And then in our gospel lesson, this is made even more beautiful. Where is God precisely revealed but on the cross? That is in our suffering, in our brokenness, not in perfection, but on a cross. God is most clearly revealed and present. And just in case we miss the point, what happens at Pentecost? God's breath, God's ruach, God's spirit is poured out again, and who are we made to be again? The coming together of humanity and God's spirit and God's presence. We are intended to be the very ones in whom God dwells and through whom God works for the healing of the world. And this is why, since God is in each of you, why, if I love you, my neighbors, I am loving God. And it is because God connects all of us in our very essence and being that we love our neighbor, not as someone else, but someone who is actually a part of ourself. But this is something that is actually very hard for us to grasp, usually in our minds. When I was preaching before, I taught you a form of prayer. See, in the Christian tradition, it is actually prayer that opens us up to understand the depths and transforms us into what the gospel is really teaching. So I'm going to teach you again a form of prayer taught by St. Teresa of Avila called the Prayer of Recollection. If you remember how to do this, we need to begin by sitting up straight. And that's so you don't fall asleep. And with your feet on the ground, and simply close your eyes and remember that God dwells within you. And if you get distracted, come back to that remembrance of God dwelling, and perhaps you can picture God dwelling in your heart. Now, if God is dwelling in you, when you open your eyes, I want you to look around. And where else is God dwelling? In each of you, in all of us together. And it's actually this recognition that God dwells within us as people and acts through us, that this practice of community organizing places at its very heart and concretely lives us out through a practice called one-to-one relational meetings. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, let me tell you a story. When I was training for the ministry, I went to Harvard and worked at an inner-city, largely African-American Lutheran church called Resurrection Lutheran Church. Now, this church at one point had dwindled down to about 15 largely Swedish families, of course, surrounded by this African-American community. And what they did was they actually called a pastor named Reverend John Heinemeier, who's one of the sort of the grandfathers of community organizing in the United States. And what he did was take these community organizing practices and he applied it to the life of the congregation. And by the time I was there, it was this thriving, largely African-American congregation. And the joke is I was hired, yes, this white boy from Canada, was hired to do outreach to the Latino community. Now, it would have been easy to say, well, we know what programs they want. We'll create some programs and they'll all come in. But that's not what John taught me to do. He said, go out there and have conversations with people. knock on people's doors, find leaders in the community, and sit down and have these one-to-one relational meetings, looking for the spark and the presence of God within people and gathering them together. Because the way that God works, if God wants to transform a community, if God wants to bring healing to a community, God usually is already at work preparing people for that work. So I would go out, just like I do now in my current work, looking for people who have that bit of that spark of God, perhaps some anger, perhaps some passion, perhaps some love about what is going on within their community and their lives. And we do this because justice is about love. Cornel West and many other theologians have often said that when we speak about justice in the church, what we're simply speaking about is what love looks like in public life. So to do justice, we have to begin by always building relationships, by having conversations, by building connections. And we do this in community organizing because it's a form of justice that is not about trying to help some people out there, those other people who have problems. No, it's about building relationships so that we begin to hear each other's struggles, so that your struggles and my struggles become our struggles, so that your hopes for the community and my hopes for the community becomes our shared hopes for our community. And this is what we now begin to do as actually within the Calgary Alliance for the Common Good. We are taking on the issues of supporting seniors so they can stay in their homes and community and reconciliation between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. And our seniors team is led by seniors and younger folks working together. Our reconciliation team is led by Indigenous people and non-Indigenous people. Because once we build relationships, we begin to see that this is our community that we work together to shape. It is something that we all have a stake in. But if we are connecting with each other and hearing about what's going on in our community, at some point we have to ask the question of commitment. Because the reality, as many of you know, is love is difficult. And the work of justice is difficult, and it is long-term work. So if we're going to have any type of impact, there has to be a commitment, and a real commitment, a commitment of resources, a commitment of people and time, which in the practice of organizing takes the form of membership, dues, and a commitment of leadership. Actually, this is what, in many ways, the Calgary Alliance for the Common Good represents. It's a question to the communities of Calgary. Is there enough commitment here? Is there enough strength within our communities to take on the issues of poverty and the issues of justice, not just at the surface level, but at the roots and at their deeper structure? And if there is, then we listen. People often go, what, listen? Really, do we need to listen anymore? Don't we know what problems there are? Don't we have the answers of how to address them? Well, the reason why we listen is, well, let me ask you a theological question. Was the Holy Spirit given to individuals or to a community? What we often miss in the West is the Holy Spirit is primarily given to a community, and that it works primarily through the quality of relationships that we create, whether that is the relationship between us and God or between each other. If you want to know the theology behind that, we can chat afterwards. But the Holy Spirit works through the connections we build. So we listen, not only to discover the issues in the community, but to shape those bonds of trust and understanding that is essential if a community is to actually act together. See, as we listen, that's how we discover our shared struggles. That's how my pain and your pain becomes our shared pain. My blessings and your blessings become our shared blessings. And often when you listen, you discover things that you wouldn't expect. So when I was back in Roxbury, if you would have asked me at the beginning what the Latino community wanted, I would have said, educational support. But when we went out there and we listened, guess what they wanted? Baptisms. Because of some issues at the local Catholic church, many of the families could not get their kids baptized. And we're Lutherans. We'll baptize anyone. So we did baptisms, and it was only after we actually listened to them and responded and did these baptisms were they even remotely willing to talk with us about education. And the same thing is actually true in Calgary. It was amazing. We had our listening campaign about 2 years ago. And, you know, I saw these big, tough union leaders in tears over the mental health challenges that their children were facing. I saw the beautiful anger of some of our Indigenous leaders when they talked about how they wished that this community was a community that was safe for their daughters. I was amazed as I saw pastors sitting next to social workers, sitting next to people being in and out of homelessness, sitting next to carpenters, and all of them talking about how the greatest pain in their life came from their sense of isolation. And we also heard about the struggles that seniors are facing to stay in their homes and the communities, and as well as the struggles that their caretakers are having as well, too. And throughout all of this listening, what began to form was a sense of our shared ability to take action. Because listening must lead to action. Look at our biblical story. Ever since Abraham decided to leave Ur, to David with his slingshot, and even Paul heading off to Damascus, God encounters us when we take action. That is how we are brought into the biblical story. It's one of those amazing things we discover when we actually sit down and read the Bible is that it's not primarily a book of theology. It's primarily a book of stories. Stories about people who dare to hear God's call and then dare to follow and were brought into the very story of God. Now, sometimes our actions start small. Back in Boston, the congregation that I was working with was a part of what's actually our sister organization, the Greater Boston Interfaith Organizing, which is an organization that's famous for some huge victories. They were able to get an affordable housing trust set up of $317 million in Massachusetts that has built something like 17,000 affordable housing units. They got Mitt Romney, at that time a Republican governor, to pass one of the first affordable health care acts in the United States. But do you know where they started? They started by trying to get new textbooks into one of the local schools. And I saw the textbooks that the kids were still using. I think they lost that fight. But what happened was, as people began to act and reflect on their action, as they began to be transformed as people. They were transformed into people who had a sense of the common good, who also had their sense of their own ability to have an impact on their community. And in the process, they were transformed. In the process, that little church on the corner was transformed. And in the process, the state and the city of Boston was also transformed. Because ultimately, what this work is about is the transformation of people. You see, people are transformed when they enter into public life, not for our own aggrandizement, but rather for the common good. As we learn to grow into our own leadership, we begin to become not only the people, but also the communities that God hopes that we might become. Actually, my job description is find, gather, and develop leaders. And it's this possibility about how we can be transformed as faith communities into leaders who are actually at the forefront of the healing of our communities. That's what inspires me to get up on a Sunday morning, why I'm often not here, off in some other congregation, speaking with them about how we can do this work together. And it's also why I'm here this morning, inviting my own congregation that I attend to say, to invite you to become a part of this as well, too. Why? Well, who did God make us to be? Are we not the body of Christ? Are we not how God is present, but also how God works to heal this world? And are we not healed through the relationships that we form? How we love each other, and unconditionally not only see God in each other, but challenge each other to become the people that God hopes we might become. And are we not knit together as we listen to each other? And as we take action and enter into God's story, are we not transformed? And is not true theology nothing but simply the reflection of how we have allowed ourselves to be filled by God and allowed God to act through us? But what is interesting is this is a calling that we don't just have as Christians. It is a calling that is actually shared much more broadly. So I want to end by quoting a rabbi. It's Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, who was a former head rabbi for Britain, who once said, is that faith is the willingness to stay together and to argue our way through. Which is something I think this congregation once learned as well, too. It is to recognize that the world that is not the world that ought to be. And therefore that the truest faith is a protest against evil, against the violence and against the injustice of the world, and therefore to be religious is to right those wrongs. It is to be a teacher who fights ignorance, a doctor who fights disease, a therapist who fights depression or despair, or a businessman fighting poverty. And when you do this, you do what in Judaism we call being God's partner in the work of creation. And that is a grown-up faith for grown-up human beings who understand that faith is not a tranquilizer that's designed to lower your blood pressure, but rather it is a summons to collective responsibility for building the human future. Amen.